Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Greetings.
We are live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. When you switch to Farmers Insurance, you can save a bundle. All you got to do is call 1-888-FARMERS. Get a quote today.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
So we had a big weekend, Mike Harmon. We had a big weekend in the NFL. We had a bit, and the Knicks have won two in a row, and it's a huge weekend in the NFL, and the Knicks have won two in a row. And I don't know. It's like I couldn't be happier if I were Twins right now.
I tell you what, that Knicks game this morning might have been one of the worst games I've ever sat and watched.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
It's a win.
At like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I know. But
I mean,
you take the
game,
W, but it was like, wow, that was not good. It was not entertaining. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, but when you get up at like 7 in the morning to make breakfast and get ready and, you know, get your kids ready for the day and all that, and there's a live NBA game on, it's not like you got to worry about, well, this is live English Premier and it's coming from, you know, Old Stratford. No. This is live NBA that was at like 7 in the morning today. And then it doesn't matter how good or bad it is. You have an NBA game that early.
Look, well, all sports, right? Anytime I've got live action that early, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Wake up. It's like, what you doing over there? It's like watching the NBA. and the kids sat and watched. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, well, holiday. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, right? You guys don't have to go to class, but you have some work to get done. But that means you've got some day basketball. And they watched for about 5 minutes. Is anybody going to hit a shot? I said, maybe not. 91-84, your final. So they at least got to 90. Because that was in doubt for a long
time. Yeah, no, 90 was in doubt. 90 is, if they don't get to 90, I think you have to actually give tacos to the team. If you don't actually get to 90, that's the rule. Hey, we get to 100, you get tacos. But if you don't get to 90, we have to supply tacos to everybody.
Well, I mean, tacos, you can start racking up a pretty good bill. So, I mean, we'd have to look into point shaving if that promotion actually got offered.
Or taco shaving. You don't consume me. I consume you.
Oh, no.
I could watch that Joe Keery commercial all day.
It's pretty good. Now I want a taco.
How many times did you see it this weekend during football action? Was that Joe Keery commercial on?
97,000 times.
The whole town was built on bold seasoning. I mean, those commercials are just absolute genius. I could watch those and the what's the one, the progressive ones that about not turning into your parents. I could watch those all day. I really could.
See, they've got you hooked in. You've won.
Mm-hmm. But clearly, coming off this big weekend in the NFL, let's start right here for a couple of minutes. Because there's one thing the NFL did today that was the best thing they've done in a couple of years. But clearly, the story of the week is going to be, will Patrick Mahomes play in the AFC Championship game? We're going to be hitting refresh on our computers every 8 seconds. Is he cleared? Is he cleared? Is he cleared? Is he clear? Coming off the concussion this weekend in the victory over the Browns, that's going to be the story that dominates. Every day there's going to be stuff because people are going to want, is he going to play? People are going to make up all kinds of content just to have something to say.
My man, there's so many good storylines in these two games. Why fabricate that
one? It's Patrick Mahomes, man. The best quarterback in the NFL may not play.
No, I want to know how his foot and ankle are.
Well, they'll have that
that's
too.
The bigger issue.
They'll have
for
that
me.
Too. Anything Patrick Mahomes, they'll have, buddy. It doesn't, whatever you want, whatever you want. The inside of the Patrick Mahomes commercials that's on all the time. The Jake from State, Jake from State Farm's going to do so many interviews this week going, well, I don't know. I saw the game like you did. Yeah, but you actually acted with him. Like, did he look like he's a guy that could come back over these kind of injuries? I don't know. This was on a movie shoot over the summer where we all had craft services and catering but you can tell us about it. I mean, anything Patrick Mahomes related is going to be through the roof this week. Absolutely through the roof. But the big thing is, and this is what everybody needs to pay attention to, the number one thing to look at is, when do you see Patrick Mahomes limited participant in practice? That's going to be the big key. Because if you see Patrick Mahomes limited participant, that means he's on track and could be able to play. That's the one thing black and white that you can sit there and say, okay, until I see that, And every day that goes by you don't see that, the odds are less and less that Mahomes is able to play. But that's the first thing he's going to pass that is going to be visible for all of us is, hey, does he participate in practice? Because that's a news item that goes out to everybody. And everybody gets it. Did he practice? Did he not? What did he do during practice? The portion of practice that was visible to people. That's going to be the thing. And once you see that limited participation in practice, that's going to be the thing. And if we see that by Wednesday, I would say Mahomes is going to play. If we see that on Friday, I don't know. So Wednesday for me is the big day. Is he going to be able to practice on Wednesday? And that's the key that will kind of set the tone for the rest of the week.
Yeah, I think it goes I'll go all the way to Friday. I don't think I sweat it over the course of the week because of the time frame and the expectations and how the protocols work. I would anticipate he will play. You know, all the positive speech coming out. And maybe they're just becoming better actors as coaches as they hit the microphones, but I would expect him to play, and if he weren't available, Chad Henne showed you a couple of things in the old arsenal that makes me intrigued if we had to go that route. Obviously, you don't because you got the youth served on the AFC side, and then you've got the grizzled veterans battling it out one more time. It's like a WWE Legends night on SmackDown.
It's a Legends
night. Here comes Scott Hall. He's going to take on Jake the Snake Roberts. And here comes Rodgers against Brady. They each pick their songs. Who are you bringing with you? I got Gronkowski. He used to be a champion here for a while.
It's going to be, I'll tell you what, it's going to be the overwhelming storyline. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see point spreads moves. You're going to see, hey, do we have that feature on Chad Henne ready to go? Yeah, I remember back when he was a freshman at Michigan winning the starting quarterback job, and he's kind of the same guy now he was, and that was like 15 years ago. Yes, it's the same. But Mahomes is the big story, and as soon as we know something, we'll let you know. But that to me, it's the day is Wednesday. Look, we could go all the way up to Sunday and not know. We can go up to kickoff and not know if Mahomes is going to play or not, but the earlier we see a sign, obviously the better is. Wednesday is that first big day, and then Mike, I think you're right, then Friday is the big one. If we see something Friday, but still, the longer it goes, the less of a chance it is for Mahomes to play.
Well, we know the Chiefs will play games with the with lineups and activations. Remember when Edwards-Helaire dressed but then did not play, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of fantasy owners still kind of salty about that one, shaking their fists in anger. But it's too bad. Like, Tom Rinaldi is now a member of Fox, which is fantastic in storytelling. But we don't have the AFC game. Think about starting a Chad Henne piece by going into the Appalachian State loss. Go all the way back to 2007.
I want to bring up a bad memory for you. Oh, what, the interception?
And you hear the piano start?
No. I want to go to Appy State. This interview's done. And he's taking the mic off and throw it done.
It's like, wait,
I'm
the
done.
Music hasn't even barely started. What are you doing?
But that's not nearly the only big storyline going on with Kansas City, because we have a lot of NFL to get to, and clearly now there are less coaching seats at the table after the Bills and the Chargers basically announced their hire. So there's a couple of teams left looking for candidates, and thanks to the best thing the NFL has done in a couple of years, they are allowing offensive, defensive coordinators, anybody up for a head coaching job, to interview with teams even if they're still alive in the playoffs. This means Eric Bieniemy is getting an interview with the Houston Texans. It means Todd Bowles is getting an interview with the Philadelphia Eagles, the two teams left that are still set to fill their head coaching positions. And I'll tell you, if Bieniemy doesn't get a job, social media is going to explode. And it really would be a bad look for the NFL that here's a bunch of hires and another African-American head coach doesn't get hired, especially with the resume that Bieniemy had. But this is the big thing, because whatever you feel about Bieniemy, and if it's race, if it's this, if it's that, he doesn't interview well, all these things, I understand that. But half of why he hasn't gotten a job, half is that for the past 3 years, he's unable to interview really in a big, all the way until the end of the playoffs. You can do that first interview, that first week when you have a bye, but teams are trying to figure stuff out then. Okay, we like this guy, but we got to talk to a couple of different people. And so maybe you're not ready to make that hire after the first week, but then you're stuck, right? Then you can't talk to Bieniemy. You can't talk to Todd Bowles because these guys are still playing. And now the NFL has lifted that restriction as long as it's okay with the teams. And now the teams look awful. Like, Andy Reid looks like a jerk if he doesn't allow Bieniemy to interview. And the same thing with the Eagles. So, of course, they're going to let these guys interview. And this is a really big thing. And I hope this winds up being something that is permanent. I hope it's built into schedules, because this is what the NFL needs. Because really, half the things, unless you're the most dynamic candidate in the world, a team is not going to listen, have you in and go, yep, you're our guy, and then we're getting it all done. Everybody wants to talk to a couple of people. You're just doing your due diligence. The Jets hired Robert Saleh, and what happened? They let him leave the building. And I was like, wow, maybe he's not their guy. Then they interviewed Arthur Smith, and a day later, they went back and got Robert Saleh. Now, Saleh had a chance to go because he wasn't playing, he was coaching the game, so there was no real deadline other than you want to hire him before somebody else does. But that was still something that the Jets knew he was their guy, and it still played out over 5 or 6 days. And so now, so how do you expect a team with an OC to say, okay, great, here's our interview, I'm going to blow you away with all kinds of dynamic things you need because, you know, I've been prepping for the last week for our game coming up. It's not like Robert Saleh had a game to prep for. It's not. So it makes it so much more difficult. And that's why this is such a great idea. And I hope this sticks in the NFL, because this is what's going to make it more probable and possible for guys like Bienemy and Bowles that normally would be shut out until the end of the season.
Yeah, those couple hours aren't going to impact the game, right? That coming weekend. It's like he interviewed for 4 hours. No, he'd been parsing together whatever he needed to go into an interview, any clips, anything he wanted to sell. I mean, that's your whole off season, right? When you're not pondering play calls and building your books, is you're looking for going up the ladder. Like any job, right? You're always prepped for your next and ready to go, right? It doesn't happen on a whim. And so it's not like it takes that much time away and you can't say, he was distracted. It's like, if he's distracted by the thought of another job, whether he's in the building or not, he's going to be distracted by the thought of another job, right? I mean, that's just not going to change. And I think some of the change to the rule is just for that, is that you've had guys, most notably Bienemy, who didn't get a seat at the table perhaps fairly and still may not find his way into a head coaching job, right? Raheem Morris seen as a potential candidate there in the planet Houston. And then you go through, I mean, look, Brian Daboll went back and he's going to stay in Buffalo. I wonder if he just got told no because he didn't run the ball this weekend. It's like, wait, you don't even want to use a running back? What are you doing? So Staley gets the job. I think the first question is, all right, you're not going to have Ramsey and Donald. How do you adjust? So give me some words on that. But yeah, it's all changing the rules, right? Today we finally got the official notice of how they're going to not do the combine, right? Not going to have in-person interviews, workouts. All of these things have changed. So the rules of engagement for coaching have to as well. You need to be flexible because it's going to be a different type of planning to get ready towards free agency and draft day that we've ever seen. And making teams sit around on their hands for 3 to 4 weeks while others get the competitive advantage, right? Because you're changing a coach because you need to get the on the ground and running towards the next year and having to stand around as other seats get filled. And maybe the guy you wanted to talk to a second time is just in a holding pattern, right? To where you can't get back on. I think we want him, but we want to make sure. It's just not fair to anybody involved. It's not fair all the way down to the fans. Can I pull the fan card? Can I do that? Fans need hope too, yeah. People.
Look, and you can still let people hire when they want to hire. You don't need to say, well, no one can hire till after the Super Bowl. No,
well, that's
you don't
just
want
not going to work.
Because
those guys are going to be hired and working
exactly.
Under cloak and dagger.
Listen, I'm not saying we're hiring you, but here's our personnel. Tell me what you think.
We saw him out for a jog, and he was wearing a Lions hat. What the hell? He was dressed head to toe in silver.
Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike at Swollen Dome. He was outside Don Polsky's having a having a really good okay
muskrat dinner.
You got to listen to the whole show. That was a callback. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike at Swollen Dome. We're live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch, and you could save a bundle on your auto insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-da, bum, bum, bum.
We got Jason Lock and Four coming up. All the big news in the NFL. Is Eric Bieniemy getting a job? Is this really the end of Drew Brees? What do we expect to see in the conference title games? Keep it right here. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. It's better than using your phone to see if your post got any likes again. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Sir, yes, sir.
We got Jason Lock and Four coming your way in about 3 minutes. But let me just say this, because I got to put my foot down on something right away here, Mike Harmon. I know you're going to agree with me. Today, the Seahawks announced that they talked to Adam Gase about their offensive coordinator position. Okay, just think about that for a second. A guy who presided over the worst offense in the NFL for 2 years is going to be the guy to come in and fix Russell Wilson, who already is at odds with the team over how much they let him throw the football, right? Hashtag let Russ cook. All right, so that's ridiculous. But I got to say this. All of you making Adam Gase jokes, stop it. The Adam Gase jokes are mine. You did not suffer like I did for 2 years with this guy, how bad it was. I just had to watch 2 years of my life go by. I'm not getting those years back. He was terrible. That's my joke. Gases are my joke. They're not yours. You didn't earn it. Nobody earned it. I earned it. I can joke about how bad Adam Gase is. Oh, my goodness. This is going to wind up getting Russell Wilson traded to the Jets at some point. I can joke. You don't joke about it. You didn't earn it. You got to earn it. I did not. Nobody's earned it.
No,
crazy jokes.
Yeah, I had two jokes coming out of Adam Gase news today. Number one, I'd love to see him go to Seattle so he could have that reunion with Jamal Adams. Number two, as soon as Peyton Manning was supposedly inserted as someone who will be very critical to the next hire at Tennessee, well, it's obviously Adam Gase. I couldn't tweet that fast enough. My fingers were on fire going, it's Gase time!
But that's okay. You can do it because you've been with me. You've understood.
I've watched you suffer.
You've lived it for 2 years.
Oh, no,
so
I
that's
have.
Okay. But
far
everybody
too much.
Else has
yeah,
not earned
it. I think Lee could do that. I think Alex could do that.
Everybody else has. Yeah, but Alex doesn't know who Adam Gase is. It doesn't matter.
No, idea.
He's heard the name enough.
He thinks Adam Gase is like my uncle, you know, or something. We've been talking about his family.
You know what? You really should do the genealogy. That might be the case. Because then you could say, oh, I invited my crazy uncle to dinner. And who is it? What are you serving? Tacos.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Farmers Insurance Studio. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch and you could save a bundle on your auto insurance.
We are Farmers.
Jason Lock and Four are coming up in 90, but first.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Joining us now on the hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Lock and Four, CBS Sports. NFL insider extraordinaire Jason Lockenfora, who's got one phone on the ear with us and the other phone is on the ear with Kansas City, waiting for an update on Patrick Mahomes every 8 seconds. I'm hitting refresh. Lockenfora is on the phone. What's happening, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
So, hey, look, obviously coming off this weekend, the Patrick Mahomes story is going to be the story all the way through the week. I said if he's practicing by Wednesday, even if it's limited, he's probably going to wind up playing. What do you think we need to look for over the course of this week to say, hey, arrows pointing to yes, arrows pointing no?
Well, I just think it's going to come down to clearing protocols and what the independent neurologist says. And, you know, the same as it would be in any of these other instances. Quite frequently when you're in concussion protocol, you may not be cleared for team activities by Wednesday. You know, maybe you're starting to ride the bike and do some things like that. You know, I just feel like anecdotally sometimes it feels like guys practice on a Friday, and if that goes well and everything goes well Saturday, then you get cleared to play. But obviously there's different things that can occur through the course of a week, and if you are symptomatic at all, if you do, you know, if you have headaches, if you have nausea, if you have balance issues, if you have vomiting, then you're at a very different stage. So I don't know that it's that he has to do X by X or, you know, Y by Y. But if he feels well, if the cognitive tests go well, if he is not experiencing any, you know, post-concussion symptoms, then, you know, guys do get cleared in a week. It does happen. But everybody's different. Everybody's situation is different. Everybody's brain's different. So I just think we'll have to see how it progresses through the week. But, you know, him missing practice, it's not ideal. But we've seen people deal with all kinds of things, COVID and otherwise, this year, and teams playing under different circumstances. And, you know, if he weren't able to do anything until Friday, I certainly don't think, as long as he was cleared to play, that, you know, there wouldn't be any reason for the Chiefs to hesitate to play him.
Jason, obviously the coaching carousel spins. We'll get to some of the hires and the decision-making that's gone on thus far. But staying in Kansas City, a lot of folks eagerly anticipating what happens with Eric Bieniemy. What's your gut?
Yeah, I mean, I reported on this over the weekend. I would be really surprised if Eric Bieniemy landed one of these jobs right now. A lot of people close to him would be pretty surprised if that's how this went, given where things stand right now, given how this has gone. You know, I think this is probably going to be another cycle where, unfortunately, you know, he ends up interviewing for a bunch of jobs, but probably not getting one. There's only two open right now. You know, the Texans thing, he talked to them today, but that was kind of weird, right? And sort of under duress, and he wasn't on their original list. And I'm not sure that's the way the wind's blowing there. You know, and I mean, could he be conceivably a fit with the Eagles? I mean, possibly. But I haven't gotten any sense that there's a you know, anything remotely imminent in that regard.
What is it with him, Jason? I mean, he's been a hot candidate for 3 years, but he's done tons of interviews, hasn't gotten the gig. We've heard all the stories. He's not a play caller. It's the Andy Reid tree. He doesn't interview well. It's kind of weird that a guy like Bieniemy with this kind of resume doesn't get a chance somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how to explain it. Unfortunately, the longer it goes on, I think the more these owners, it is a little bit of a billionaire boys club. There's, you know, you start getting up to, you know, double-digit interviews. It's like, well, wait a minute. You know what I mean? What do I see in them now that they didn't before? Or what, you know, you reach a point where it kind of starts working against you. He just hasn't, you know, I don't know how to explain it. I'm not involved in the searches, you know.
Sure,
I'm not there asking questions. He clearly hasn't connected with one of these guys in a way that has led them to want to turn their team over to him. I don't know how to pinpoint it. He's been incredibly prepared. He has great people vouching for him. He comes out of a family tree that's been very fertile, obviously, in the coaching community. I don't know that it's any one particular thing. And look, the going deep in the playoffs thing, hosting a championship 3 straight years, is great in a lot of ways, but with some of these searches and how they work and some of the rules and who you can do this and you can't do that, and they're lessening a little bit of that now. But, you know, some teams don't want to wait a long time to have to make it formal and have to announce it. But it is difficult to explain when you see people from his side of the ball with less experience getting opportunities much sooner.
Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, coming to you from the Farmers Insurance Studios, on the hotline with a CBS Sports NFL reporter, radio host at 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. It's Jason Lockenfora at Jason Lockenfora, where you find him on Twitter. And Jason, there in Baltimore, Lamar Jackson goes out with the injury, not before throwing the back-breaking interception.
Yeah.
So once again, the wheels start spinning about weapons, about Greg Roman, and about, well, where's Lamar at on the learning curve when you see some of the other young quarterbacks moving forward, and, you know, even with the MVP, a lot of hand-wringing on him.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of talk in the media. I don't think there's any hand-wringing inside the organization. He's played 2.5 seasons. Pretty much every game he's played in has been meaningful. They've been to the playoffs 3 times with him. You know, look, Dan Marino played a long time, never won one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Payton and Drew Brees were together, what, 15 years?
They got one.
Yep. Peyton Manning was with Bill Polian how long in Indianapolis? 16 years? They got one, you know. Brett Favre played till his body fell apart. He got one. I think we get a little bit twisted in the era that we're in. We've got this simultaneous phenomenon of Tom Brady, you know, who's been in, he's been in, 14 or 15 championship games in 20 years. And then you've got this other freak, Mahomes, who, you know, basically never loses. And he's all he's done is going, you know, been in a championship game at home. And I think we get a little bit askew of how hard this is, how slim the margins are, how difficult it is for everything to break your way. Lamar did not have his best game by any stretch of the imagination on Saturday night. You know who else wasn't a world beater? The guy who had 206 passing yards, despite all the weapons. The guy who was nothing but dink and dunks. The guy who produced one touchdown of offense. Josh Allen.
Right.
You know? Like, and I got a newsflash. He wasn't quite an MVP against the Colts the week before. They were pretty lucky that that game didn't at least go overtime. If not lose outright, if not for some decisions made by Frank Reich and kicking blunders have really, I mean, the two really reliable kickers have crapped the bed.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got to be, looking to exercise demons after Tucker misses two of them.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
So, you know, I think that pick six was a terrible read. The play before that, he's got Hollywood Brown wide open, and before he can do anything, the right side of the offensive line collapses. J.K. Dobbins does an ole, doesn't even get a pinky on Jerry Hughes, and the play's blown up. I just think we got to really kind of be smart about how we look at these things. We're talking 23, 24, 25-year-old kids. You think of how long – I mean, Peyton Manning was wearing the can't-win-in-the-playoffs thing a decade into his career. Philip Rivers played how long? How far did he ever advance? Like,
wounded Frostburg. You just absolutely just gutted him with that one.
Well, and Jay, I hear you where you're coming from, because you know what's going to happen in 5 years after Deshaun Watson and Robert Saleh win four Super Bowls with the Jets. I mean, we're going to be back to having the same conversation.
Then everything will be warped, and we'll be gauging everything against the Deshaun Big Apple gangrene dynasty, and then everybody else is screwed. But yeah, look, there's some things he can get better at, but. Miles Boykin's their number two receiver.
Exactly.
I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, Hundley, if he makes that pass to Hollywood Brown, we got a game too. But
Andrews almost had one in the end zone.
Near misses.
I don't think people in that organization are worried about Lamar whatsoever. They've spent a lot of money and put a lot of assets into their defense, and rightfully so. But a year ago, they lost the game because of that defense. They put everything in their defensive line. That unit's looked pretty good. But at some point, when the number one receiver is a number two / three receiver, when the tight end has caught 12 of 24 targets in three playoff games for 8 yards a catch and no touchdowns and nothing over 17 yards because he's the only guy you got to worry about. And again, Miles Boykin and Willie Snead are the next guys up. I would say they've got a ways to go in personnel before I'm going to sit there and really critique Lamar Jackson in terms of what's around him.
All right, Jay, lastly, look, we talked about Deshaun Watson, and whether it's the Jets or somebody else, clearly it looks like this is getting to the point of no return for Deshaun Watson and the Texans. What are you hearing about what could be next with this situation?
Yeah, I'm not buying the point of no return. I mean, they don't have a coach yet. The coach-quarterback relationship will obviously be immensely important, but depending on what they do there, they're definitely certain individuals who I think could, you know, fly down to Deshaun Watson's house, spend some time with him, and connect with him in a way that Deshaun Watson's willing to play football for them. I mean, it's one thing to have your agent, you know what I mean, kind of letting people know that you're upset and this or that. It's quite another to say, I'll never play for this team again, and I'm out, and, you know, trade me or else. And I haven't heard that from him. I haven't even heard it from people close to him. And I'm not saying it won't get there, but people who already haven't traded here or traded there – I just think if they hire Leslie Frazier, if you know anything about Leslie Frazier, if you talk to anybody who's ever played for Leslie Frazier or coached with Leslie Frazier or coached against Leslie Frazier or played against Leslie Frazier, you want to talk about the complete diametric 180 from Bill O'Brien, it is Leslie Frazier. And Tony Dungy's vouching for Leslie Frazier. And I just think if Tony Dungy has a conversation with Deshaun Watson and Deshaun Watson says, hey, Coach Frazier, out of respect for you, I'm willing to give this a shot and spend, you know, I'm not making any guarantees, but, you know, I'll stick around for a little while and see what you're all about. I think Deshaun Watson would have a lot of fun playing football for Leslie Frazier. I think Leslie Frazier could help get that defense straightened out. And I think Leslie Frazier would keep Tim Kelly, the quarterback's coach there, who did a great job with Deshaun Watson this year and who Deshaun has staunchly advocated for. So I would just say wait and see, you know, before we've got him pictured in somebody else's uniform and his football card next year.
I shouldn't have ordered my Deshaun Watson Jets jersey. Let me see if I can cancel that. Hang on.
Bad job by you.
It'll still look good. I mean, you'll be cool at the games. People will talk,
just got to hope a guy named Watson shows up to play for your team.
Oh, we signed Ben Watson. Oh, what are we doing? You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora, at Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports, NFL Insider. Jay, as always, buddy, appreciate it, my friend. Great stuff.
We'll talk to you guys. Have a great evening. Thank you.
Be good, man.
Great stuff there from Jason Lockenfora. Look, it's going to get to winning time pretty soon in the Deshaun Watson situation because, you know, look, today he had a statement where there was going to be fans at a rally for him that were saying they want to keep Deshaun Watson in Houston. And Deshaun Watson said, listen, please don't, you know, the spread of COVID is a big deal and I don't want anybody to get sick, which is a great thing to say. But at the same time, that's also another way to say, don't come out for me because I don't want to stay. Don't come out. I feel really bad about leaving if you came out and had a big march going, please keep Deshaun, keep Deshaun. So while, yes, I think it's COVID, I also think it's, boy, we don't know how this is going to play out. And I don't want to look that bad that here's a big rally for me to show up. And here's a bunch of people braving the weather and all these things. And suddenly, oh, I wind up leaving. So I think part of it is, okay, yes, I do believe this. But part of it's also I got to make sure I keep my image straight.
Yeah, I think in the end, if you're on the I'm out of here no matter what, canceling a rally, your image is going to be done with a bunch of those folks anyway, so it's not going to matter. They, you know, it shows some leadership of, hey, come on now, let's calm our heads, and maybe to a degree also saying, you know, it's not done, so we don't have to go to that level just yet. I mean, eventually, you know, if there was no COVID, then maybe you say, hey, let's have the rally. I mean, it can be a nice media coup, however it goes. But Leslie Frazier, I mean, there's a couple of things to it. Obviously, you saw what that defense was able to do on Saturday and what they've accomplished over the course of the year. It would bring another 85 Bears star to a head coaching job, so that would be good for me, too.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike is at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show, with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save a whole lot of something on auto insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Coming up next, more from the NFL. And if you saw what we saw this weekend, you know it's time for Drew Brees to wave goodbye and head right to Canton. That's coming up next. This is Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. It's better than using your phone to see if your post got any likes again. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. And thanks to Jason Lockenfora for stopping by. Tons of big NFL news, coaching-wise and others. But clearly, one of the big topics coming off of this weekend, one of the three big ones, if you want to put them in order, was we just saw what is most likely going to be the last game in the Hall of Fame career of Drew Brees. Jay Glazer, our own Jay Glazer, reporting on Fox yesterday that whenever Brees plays his final game, that's going to be it. He's going to retire. Brees said after the game yesterday, I don't know, I haven't made up my mind. I'm going to sit back and think about it. There were some wonderful moments with him talking with Tom Brady. Brady throwing a pass to his his kid, which for a second, if I'm Breeze, I'm going, hey, I'm your dad. What do you want him throwing? I'm your dad. He doesn't throw you a pass. Yeah, but dad, come on. The guy's got 45 Super Bowls and you only have one.
Well, they stayed out there for like another hour after Brady finally left. Yeah. There were a couple guys that were still there chronicling it all. And the running joke then became, hey, that pass that Brady threw, dad, can you make that pass? Can you make that throw?
Yeah, that's a throw that I don't think Breeze can make anymore. I mean, look, watching the game yesterday, right, all the evidence was there. You saw what we've talked about for a long time. Breeze, they can't be dynamic anymore with him. He can't throw the ball downfield, and that's always been a huge weapon, a huge quick strike capability of the Saints. No matter who their receivers were, they always had that capability, and you can't do that anymore. Breeze is like an elite game manager now. He can't throw the ball down the field. He didn't complete one pass to Michael Thomas, who on his worst day is one of the top three receivers in the National Football League, and he couldn't complete one pass to him. The best play was Jameis Winston, you know, just rearing back. I mean, look, that's a pass a lot of people would complete, but still, here's the most dynamic play of the game, and it's by a quarterback that you couldn't trust to be on the field. You went to a different guy when Breeze got hurt, and Steelhill's Jameis Winston just throwing a nice pass for 50 yards for a touchdown. I mean, that's a huge sign right there. That's a huge sign that here's the most dynamic play is on a trick play from your third-string quarterback, a guy who was backup yesterday because Taysom Hill didn't play.
Well, I think that's the big thing. You just mentioned his name. You didn't have Taysom Hill, so a lot of your offense that was successful this year, gone.
Yeah.
Right? You add the fact that you don't have Latavius Murray. Look, you're going up against the number one run defense in the National Football League, and Kamara ended up having a solid yardage day, but not an impact type day, right? You get over 80 yards, that's fine for your daily fantasy league and whatever else, but it's not moving things. And when we get, you know, the healthy Shaq Barrett and Devin White come back, you see how much different that defense is. Tampa was a top 10 defense, right? Mm-hmm. And that was the most left out portion of all game analysis. I tried banging the drum sitting here with LeVar Arrington yesterday going, they get no respect. Everybody's worried about Tom Brady. Look on the other side of the ball. These guys can play. And so, yeah, that's just, but for Drew Brees, pretty rough way to end your career. But he's not coming back. I mean, you can't.
He forces the ball on two interceptions where he doesn't have the arm strength to get it in there anymore. And it's not going to be a better 2021. I mean, and that's where you have to sit back and just ask yourself all these different things that go on, all these things going to be an NFL quarterback. I mean, you watch the Saints. The Saints know. Can you sit here honestly and evaluate and say, boy, if a couple other things go right next year, the Saints are going to be even better if Drew Brees is the quarterback? And the answer is no. No, he's not. It's not suddenly where like, oh, I'm coming off an injury, my arm will be stronger. You can tell he is at the end. And if he comes back next year, it's more, oh boy, well, hopefully we can, you know, get this together and get the offense rolling a little bit and use Taysom Hill a little bit more and something else. It's just not going to be better. The arrow is no longer going up, and you are just trying to get by if Drew Brees comes back. So that's the biggest thing, and I think Brees even knows it. Look, he wouldn't spend all this time doing this if he didn't know this was the end. He'd already signed a deal. He's going to be on television. He's going to go right in the broadcast booth. I think everybody got to see yesterday, yeah, it's time for Drew Brees, and he's going to wind up retiring. He'll find the day, the right time, and he'll make the announcement, and then we'll talk about the career and the guy. He goes right to Canton for it.
Yeah, I think when you look at the way the year broke down, you could probably do a little bit if you really wanted to convince yourself, well, we didn't have Michael Thomas for a huge chunk of the year. Kamara missed some time and go through that. But I think you're just kidding yourself. Tape doesn't lie. The arm strength isn't there. That little electric football thing where I can pull him all the way back and shoot it downfield, it's not there anymore.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. We are live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call Farmers today for a quote. Coming up next, we get into the big game that an NFL team blew this weekend. Fox.